This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
So, Kyle, have you been out to Lake Fayetteville recently?
I have not, but okay. I will be there very soon.
Why?
Because of what you're about to talk about.
Oh, okay.
I am interested.
Oh, okay. On it. So as part of Artisphere, they have some outdoor art installations and things like that. And this year there is something called Spiral Wetland by Stacey Levy. She was approached for the, they thought she'd be a good candidate for Artisphere because she says her work is a marriage of art, nature, and sustainability. And this structure that's floating in the water is a spiral. From the front edge, it extends out to the water, she says, about 130 feet. But if you were to have it unwrapped about linear feet, it'd be about 750 linear feet. Yes, it's really big. And she said they tried to do as much of it on land as they could before towing it out to the lake because she says, you know, land is still.
Yes, much easier canvas, I would assume, than water.
And so it's made of this material that has native plants put into it. And she said it's best seen from the boat dock or from the dam at Lake Fayetteville. She says she really wanted to figure out a piece that embodied, you know, those three things of the marriage of the art, nature, and sustainability. And she proposed a dry project and a wet project. And she was very pleased that the water installation was chosen.
This is the best site ever. This lake is fabulous because it's so well visited. I have this wonderful audience that's passing by all the time, rain and shine, and people who come by frequently, it's like dog walkers who are here every day, joggers who this is their route. So they get to see it change over time because I always like an audience that's somewhat consistent, like working at a bus stop is always good too. And so this is a great kind of rolling past audience. What I really like is to build a piece that people who didn't expect to see art get to see it as they go past. And because I don't always get to galleries, I don't expect people who aren't artists to make it to galleries. So having this really high view is really interesting. We're about, I don't know, 20 feet, 18 feet up from the bank. So it was designed for this view, for bikers and for, and there's some now, and people strolling with their kids and baby carriages and people walking their dogs. That audience is really great. But I also have a whole boat audience, too. People in kayaks, fishermen can all see it from the ground story, not the second floor view. And so that's really interesting, too. And they're both two very different views. Even though it was designed for this, it's really nice when you're actually in the water. And after building it, one of the things I discovered was that spiraling in with your kayak it's a very special space in there. It gets very quiet. And it's quite congested. You have to have a small kayak to do it. But it's a really interesting space, and it was something I hadn't expected. So you don't always know what you're going to get when you build something, which is the excitement of building this kind of work.
Well, why, as an artist, did you want to, you know, have that marriage, like you said, of the art and nature and sustainability? Why are those aspects, as an artist, that you wanted to incorporate just, I guess, into all of your art, really?
Yeah, it has been in all my art. I actually started out as a urban forester I actually majored in art and minored in forestry because I wanted somehow to bring natural process into action and into view because I really love nature and I'm very interested in how it works, but it's not that it's confusing, but it's something, those processes are something that we don't think about all that often. So I want to bring very simple processes into the fore, into people's vision. So that's always been a big reason why I do the kind of work I do. And I used to do work that was more what I consider more like a noun. It was the thing. I would show what frog eggs look like, or I would show what was going on in water. But now I'm doing work that's more like a verb that's actually encapsulating a process and trying to sort of harness it and make it happen through the art piece. And the art piece becomes a registration of something that's happening. And in this piece, it even takes it to one step beyond the verb. It's trying to be a sort of helpful verb. It's trying to change the situation because there's so many things that are problematic with nature. Nature has a hard time in this world and in our man-made variety of the world. And so I'm trying to make very, very small but meaningful solutions to some of those problems. The spiral wetland actually will clean the water. It will draw in the nutrients that are, there are too many nutrients that have flowed into this lake. There's a lot of of nitrogen and a lot of phosphorus. It's rolling off of people's lawns. It's rolling off of if there's any farmland on the surroundings of here. And it's not buffered by wetlands. So I'm creating a kind of buffer zone. It's taking place out there. And it also makes really great habitat for fish because they love to have a little shade. And there's the dangling roots create a kind of like forested area for fish to hang out in. So this will be, it's good for fish and it's good for cleaning the water. Now, it's not going to clean the entire lake. That's not going to be a noticeable change because you'd probably need 50 of these to do it. But I'm not an engineer, I'm an artist. And so I introduced the idea that there is a solution and the solution can be really interesting and really beautiful. And here it is, and sort of now engineers and people who create infrastructure can kind of deal with this as a possibility for green infrastructure and think, okay, we could put these out in the lake, we could clean the water. It gives them the sense that there is a possibility and it doesn't have to be kind of ugly and all perpendicular. It can have some really beautiful forms that you can enjoy while it's solving the problem.
Well, I do want to ask you about the form of the insulation. It's a spiral. Is there any significance to that?
Oh, it's a heavy significance. I was very motivated by an artist named Robert Smithson, who did Spiral Jetty. It's the iconic piece of Earthworks. And I've seen it in, I've never seen it live, but I've seen it in a million different portrayals photographically. And whenever there was an article written about me, there was always a picture of the spiral jetty, because that's sort of like where I have come from in a certain way. I'm out of that tradition. And I always thought, well, I'm not really making that kind of work in a certain way. I don't make giant marks in the landscape in that kind of form. So I thought I needed to revisit Smithson and figure out what it is about the jetty that's very compelling, but also what it is that isn't working for me. And it's an extraordinary piece. It's nearly impossible to get to. I'm a testament to that. I've never been there myself. I mean, you can, but it's not something you cross over in your everyday unless you happen to fly over it. And so I like to work in sites where where people are going to come across it without meaning to. Also, it's basically a bulldozed long jetty way out into the Salt Lake. And I think it's an extraordinarily beautiful piece, but I also feel like now art needs to do a little bit more than just be a beautiful mark. It needs to have an effect, if it can have an effect, or it needs to suggest the possibility of effect. And so I wanted to turn that mark into something that worked. It's really a working earthwork. And it's doing a little work. It's showing that there's solutions to water pollution and that they can be very beautiful. And it's not just sitting out there ethereally. So it's kind of like a very pragmatic spiral jetty.
Well, what kind of plants are out there?
There is a native rush called Juncus effusus, that's soft rush, and that it's completely planted with that. I wanted a monoculture in this case because the juncus would grow in a long monocultural band along the shoreline if this was a natural lake.
What are the plants sitting in? What is that material?
It's not unlike a gym mat or a yoga mat. It's a closed-cell foam. And it's a very inert and long-lasting kind of foam. And the plants are sitting, it's kind of been Swiss cheesed with a whole series of perforations. And the plants are in special pots that fit into those holes with special little clips that hold them in. So you pop the plants that are wrapped in coir. They're wrapped like a kind of a little plant burrito to fit in the pot. And then the whole thing slips into the hole and snaps in. It's a snap-on plant.
Okay. And then it's anchored down.
And then the entire piece is anchored with we probably have about 17 to 22 anchors out there now. And that's what the scuba divers are working on, getting our anchors perfectly aligned. So it's anchored and floating at the same time, not unlike a moored boat.
What challenges have you faced in putting this together? I imagine weather has been an issue because I think one of the first days you were out here it was supposed to be cold and raining, so I didn't even know if you got to start on the date you were meant to start on, and then it snowed.
We actually made a really great snowman that was rolled. All the snow was rolled off of this and ended up in a snowman in the middle of the spiral. Mike made that for us, and it was good because its stick arms were holding a sign that was telling the volunteers that if they turned up in this weather, they should go over to the Walton Arts Center. Center, and we'd be working there. So, when you work outside, you can get any kind of weather. I'd rather cold than hot, so I was perfectly happy. The snow is a little iffy because we needed the ground. The biggest thing is wind. It's much easier to work on this when it's calmer, and so that's always been the issue. But, you know, I've decided I wanted to work with nature. I kind of have to work with whatever I get.
And it officially done on the 18th?
It is officially unveiled on the 18th, indeed. But it will, I mean, it's the way it looks right now, this is what it's going to look like. And the only thing that's going to really change is that plants will grow over time. And also one of the exciting things is with temporary pieces, you can end up with a whole lot of trash that you have to take down after you take it down that you have to dispose of. But this was very intentionally designed to be sustainable. Oh, look at all the sandpipers out there now. So it's when it comes down, we're going to tow it in and pull up all the anchors, and then we will section out pieces, whatever people want, and people can pick up pieces that they want and truck them to their own ponds and wetlands and golf course ponds and retention basins, whatever has water in it every day, it's not just seasonal water, can take one of these, and you could anchor it or you could just let it float free. But it will have, each of these pieces will have a second home, so the plants we'll have a more permanent home after Lake Fayetteville.
What are you hoping that people will take away from this installation?
I hope that they can see that art and nature and science can kind of hold hands and have a better relationship, and that engineering and engineered solutions can get more graceful and more aesthetic, and that that art can be part of every solution that we create. In water and on land, so that this infrastructure that we make is going to be a lot more sympathetic to how nature works and a lot more sympathetic to our eyes. Not everything has to be perpendicular and 4x8 and look really like it's working. It can look beautiful while it's working.
And just to clarify, there's not a specific ceremony or anything like that on the 18th for the opening of the project, you know, because it's been out there the whole time. You know, I think that was just the deadline for when she was wanting to be done, because it took several weeks to do. So as, you know, she mentioned, a lot of people have been able to see it in the process of it being built. And she mentioned to me one of the comments she overheard was a couple of people who went by, and one of them asked if it was from outer space because it's like a crop circle. And she got a kick out of that. And she said, you know, that there are fish in the lake, so I guess it's a crappie circle.
Oh, I like her.
Uh-huh. I thought you might.
Yes.
I thought you might. Also, in our conversation, she did tell me that, you know, it takes a village, and she really wanted to thank the volunteers and the divers and Kraft and Toll, who came out to survey in the water, and Robert Ginsberg, who's kind of the project manager. She did say, you know, it'll be up for about a year. That's
Oh, wow.
The plan.
Okay. We'll see it go through the seasons.
Mm-hmm. The plan is to have it up for about a year, and then after a year, that's when they'll take it down and they'll, you know, take the plants off to give to people to plant elsewhere. So It's very sustainable in that way. If you'd like to learn more about her, you can visit Stacy Levy, that's LEVY.com.